Good evening, everyone. We're going to call this meeting to order. I ask that we all rise from the front of the class.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, will you call the roll?
Mr. Raymond?
Present.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Malone?
Present.
Daniel?
Present.
Ms. Pulisic? Ms. Laird?
Present.
And Ms. Dayan?
Councilwoman Pulisic will not be with us this evening. Moving on to the approval of the minutes. Are there any comments on the minutes? Minutes stand approved. Moving on to public comments. Our first public comment period will be on subjects not being voted on with a 5-minute time limit. Our only person signed up today is Mr. Mark Willever.
Thanks, Mark Willever. I was thinking the other day back to January when the new members on the board were sworn in. And I think it was the Reverend Smith who got up and gave a prayer before everybody started and said something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something to the effect that he hoped that those in office and positions of power would act as shepherds looking over their flock. And I thought at the time it was such a nice sentiment, you know. My next thought was a little bit more cynical in that a lot of times the people in power treat the people more as a flock to be fleeced than shepherded over. But that's probably my warped vision of the world. And but I thought his comment was a hopeful one, you know, something that should be reached for and hopefully attained. I bring that up because a couple weeks ago I ran into a restaurant worker from the Apollo, and it was late, pretty late at night, 10 o'clock, and I was walking back to my car, and she was walking up West Broad, and I said, "Hey, where are you going?" And she goes, "Well, I'm going, my shift's over, and I'm going up to get my car." I said, "Where did you park, in Allentown?" She goes, no, because I can't afford to park anywhere near where I work because the parking authorities kicked the fees up so much. She said, you know, a few years back I could afford to park in the garage, but now it's, I think she said, $80 to park in the garage for the month. And the meters, of course, I think you get, what do you get now, for 6 minutes for a quarter or something? But anyway, she said, 80% of the people I work with can't afford to park near where we work. She said, you know, the owner can and the manager can, but the people that are clearing tables, working in the kitchen, and waiting on customers for dinners can't afford to park anywhere near where they work. And I thought, man, how did we let that happen? And I overheard one of the council people prior to the meeting saying, well, you know, you realize that council has no authority over the parking authority, which I do know that to be the case, that you can't really do anything about that. But I thought, how did it get to the point where the people that make the downtown actually go, you know, we want a vibrant downtown, and the people behind the scenes that are doing, you know, the hard work, you know, taking the garbage out, mopping the floor, keeping the bathrooms clean, not to mention cooking and bringing us $15 cocktails, that is more than they make in an hour. And I talked to another person at another place, and she actually lives in Fountain Hill and walks like almost a mile and back again. And the first time I thought, yeah, you know, it's kind of nice out. It's probably a good way to clear your head before you go into work, you know, half mile walk. And I thought, what's it like at 10:30 at night when you're walking back up in February and there's northeast wind and it's 20 degrees wind chill and you got your tips in your pocket and you got to walk back up to 2nd or 3rd Avenue because you can't afford to park near where you work in the downtown. I find that a little disheartening. I hope people on council do as well. And I know you can't do anything about it, but I just thought, I've been thinking about this for a long time, so I wanted to bring it up. And I told some of these people that I did talk to that I would. So there's that. You know, and of course, you wonder how a certain department gets so much clout that it's almost like a Burmese python that they can squeeze the life out of these restaurant workers that are people that should be more appreciated. So, thank you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Lever. Does anyone else in the center have public comments on?
I've got Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I have my own story about the parking authority, but I'll, rather than beating a dead horse, I'll talk about something else. A federal issue, but if you have any contacts with congressional candidates, you can raise it up. It's a good idea, which I proposed at the debate recently at the Fowler Center where I got my parking ticket. Through an error committed by someone else, but another story, another time. The idea is quite simple and rather obvious, but has an interesting wrinkle. Right now, for an individual taxpayer, the highest bracket starts at any income over $600,000 in a year. And that income, all the way up to whatever limit there is 37%. Now, my proposal is very simple, and the candidates, all four Democratic candidates, by the way, Ryan McKenzie was not there, all four Democratic candidates like the idea, and it's quite simple. A new bracket is superimposed, starts at $1 million, which is a nice round number. Any income above $1 million is taxed at a rate of 50%, one half. And argument being that anybody making that much money, I mean, $1 million a year should be enough for anyone to live on. So anyone income above that should be shared equally with his or her fellow human beings. And it was also helped to reduce the deficit, because the deficit is increasing because of cuts in taxes, not matched by cuts in spending, which means the government has to pay more money to borrow, has to borrow more money, let's put it that way, and that pushes up interest rates, and Trump wants interest rates to come down. And it's not the only instance where he is contradicting himself when it comes to economics, but that's something else for another time. So, a simple idea, everybody liked it. Here's the wrinkle, though. let's pretend that I make $2 million in a year. It's a nice thought, but it's only going to be a fantasy. That second million, if I do nothing, it's going to be taxed at 50%. And so half will go to the government, and the other half I can keep or do whatever I want with it. And suppose I decide to give it to a charity. So the charity gets $500,000 and the government gets $500,000. Now, suppose instead I donate the whole million to the charity and it's deductible from my taxable income. So the charity gets $1 million. I'm out $500,000 and the government is out $500,000. So the charity's getting an extra $500,000 in addition to my $500,000, courtesy of the federal government. It is as if, now this is the thing that you have to sort of tweak your brain a little bit on this, but it's as if I made a $500,000 donation to the charity and I forced the federal government into a matching grant to a charity that I have chosen. So I think that's a pretty cool thing. And I only got to explain it to one or two of the candidates after the meeting because the moderator, who used to be on city council, felt that the whole question was too long, so I cut it off at the 50%. So that's the idea, and I think, well, you know, if you liked it and you get a chance to talk to any one of the four candidates, you know, just mention it to them. Maybe, who knows? Maybe something will happen. We got to do something. Next time I have two quotations from a well-known politician who I will not name about immigration, and you're going to be surprised at who it is. Thank you.
Thank you, so very much, Mr. Shire. Anyone else in the center have public comment on something not being voted on this evening?
Martin Romerill, 26 West Market Street. As member of the Bethlehem Garden Club, I would like to invite any member of the public who can hear my voice in this room, or who may see the video later, to come to our Arbor Day celebration, which will be out here outside the rotunda on the plaza at 1 p.m. this Friday, April 24th. And the Garden Club would like to thank the city for securing a few extra parking spaces for some of our members who can't traverse great distances any longer, so they can park closer and be part of the celebration. And so I hope to see many, if not all of you, at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anyone else in the center have public comment on something not being voted on this evening? Anyone to my right? Okay, moving on to public comment on the ordinances or resolutions to be voted on this evening. I have no one signed up to speak. Does anyone in the center want to? Mr. Shire?
This is a short comment, but I notice 6F, communication 6F, and then it gets voted on later on. One of the city departments is applying to the state for a $250,000 grant to do things in Sand Island, Saucon Park, and Monocacy Park. The information you have in front of you does not give, and this is an issue of transparency, doesn't give any information as what they have in mind to do in Sand Island, Saucon Park, or Monocacy Park. Who knows? They may be thinking of paving over all three of them. A little bit of information here would be not interesting, to say the least. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else in the center have public comments on something being voted on this evening? Yes, sir.
Martin Romerill, 26 West Market Street. I hope I can get this in 5 minutes. I'll do my best. I would like to refer you back to the council minutes of February 17th, 2004. And I'd like to quote the late excellent gentleman, the president of city council, Mike Schwader. Back then, there was a debate about transferring an Anna liquor license into the city. And there was going to be a public hearing about it. And Council President Schwader's chief concern was that once the license was accepted into the city at a supposed location, it could then be moved to any other location in the city without the input of city council. And that could inconvenience or even endanger neighbors in certain neighborhoods. So I'm going to quote from the minutes and then I'll add my comments. Quote, President Schwader noted the city council would have the right either to approve or disapprove this request at the March 2nd, 2004 city council meeting as established. Assuming the request is approved, President Schwader highlighted the fact that the city, quote, would then forego all its rights to have any say really over the location of this license once it's established in the city of Bethlehem, because once it's in the municipality, the Liquor Control Board then determines the approval," unquote. The attorney for the applicant stated that the city still has the right under zoning requirements. But that's not a lot of rights, and zoning is, can be a fuzzy thing depending on who's asking for variances. President Schwader continued. He pointed out that the city would not have the same rights it has under the liquor law that it does now, meaning before the license was accepted by city council into the city limits. President Schwader stressed this is open-ended because the city is then passing on its ability to have any say if and when this new business, whenever that might be, comes into place. The attorney for the applicant said, quote, "You are absolutely correct that once you have agreed to permit this new license to come into the city of Bethlehem, you will not be approving under this procedure the license being transferred to another location, period. However, you would still then have the rights that you do under zoning and other approvals that the city normally has," period, unquote. President Schwader, advising the city would have those rights regardless, asserted the city would have less, though, after the transfer. So this relates to Ordinance 10A that you're going to vote on tonight. What is missing from the requirements council lists in this proposed Ordinance 10A is for the applicant, and I'm sorry I didn't attend the other meeting, but you can understand my reluctance to come here and beat my head against the wall repeatedly. But there's no directive for the individual requesting the license to list any and all known restrictive institutions. Under the Liquor Control Act, a restrictive institution is a church, a school, and any other nonprofit that may be within 300 feet. I think it's wonderful that you want to certify that the applicant sends a letter to all the property owners and residents within 500 feet of the proposed location, but I still think this is insufficient based on experience. I don't want this requirement to be a fatal flaw if the applicant fails to note that there's a back office on the fifth floor of a large building for a obscure nonprofit. And my purpose of this is not to prevent the applicant from making the application. My purpose, as Mr. Shire has said, and actually he has quotes in that meeting too on the 4th in 2004, if you would go back and read the minutes. But my purpose is to get out in the public for the issue of transparency. Are there restrictive institutions? Is the applicant knowledgeable about the neighborhood? And when I said experience lends me to propose this, is in 2005, a license was proposed for the corner of West Market and Heckewelder. The Liquor Control Board sent their crack investigator out. He walked up and down Heckewelder, and he couldn't find a school that was established in 1742. He couldn't find within 299 feet the church grounds of a church that was opened in 1806. And he didn't notice the office of the Bach Choir, a 501c3 organization, that was established much more recently in 1898. He couldn't also find the historic Bethlehem Partners office, which was also a 501c3 organization within 300 feet of the proposed ordinance. The residents objected to this report. They went to the Liquor Control Board hearing, which was scheduled in Lehigh County, not Northampton County, to make it inconvenient. And when they went, their concerns were dismissed out of hand. Even the treasurer of one of these 501c3 organizations testified that their office was in 300 feet of the proposed ordinance, and the attorney for the applicant said, "Oh, well, how do we know you're not leading a fraudulent tax evasion scheme?"
Sir, I'm going to ask you to start wrapping up your comments.
Okay, all right. But because the treasurer forgot to bring the 501c3 letter from the IRS, the treasurer and the members of the public that were donors to that organization were all accused of tax fraud, and they didn't have a chance at a third date of that hearing to clear their names because the third date of the hearing wasn't scheduled. They ran out of time, and they said, "Oh, we can't get to do it." The public is abused by the Liquor Control Board, all right? And so I think you need to put in here a requirement that restrictive institutions have to be listed by the applicant so that that can be part of the public hearing here before council. Because I don't think that you're going to say the Moravian Church doesn't exist.
Thank you, sir.
All right?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
And just for clarification, we're not transferring any liquor license tonight.
Oh, I know, but you have ordinance, like 10A, that you're talking about requirements.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Does anyone else have public comment?
Stephen and Tom, 77 Ridge. Following up on the gentleman's comments, my comment is this. He's making a very important point. And there are three people here for the public. But that stupid clock there tells the person to shut up. What is more important that we hear what the gentleman has to say, because that reflects on the welfare of the city. So let's use some judgment here. If that person were rambling, they'd get the gavel. I sat here one time and listened to a member of the Moravian Historical Society go on for 12 minutes beyond the five. And the present council did nothing to stop them. Why? It was a Moravian historical person. His comments, in terms of the welfare of the city, are more important. So come on. You are our servants. To cut him off is disgraceful. When there are only three people from the public here, what, do you want to get home early?
Thank you. We have public comment on things being voted on this evening. Anyone else want to make public comment on something being voted on this evening? Moving on to old business. Any members of council have old business? Moving on to new business, I don't see Mr. Will Weber, but just for some context, on Wednesday, April 22nd at 4 p.m., the BPA does hold their public meetings to address stuff like that, but I also wanted to clarify that there is a merchant parking pass that is supposed to be available to their to members that work within the business district. I'll reach out to Mr. Will Weber about that. Does anyone on council have new business that they want to address? Councilor Callahan?
Thank you. I have a few things. I had sent a letter to Northampton County District Attorney Stephen Barada, just asking him some information on all the laws and statutes concerning a right-to-know officer. So obviously everybody knows we had a right-to-know officer that works for the city. It's hired by the Reynolds administration. He was he's being charged for selling cocaine and marijuana here in City Hall. And I was told by three police officers in the city that they thought that Mr. Cole Borghi was going into the database, police database, and he's allowed to go in as a right-to-know officer, as to go in and do research for right-to-know requests. But from my understanding is he's not allowed to go in and do right-to-know requests on things that he has not had a right-to-know request from the public for. So I sent a letter to the DA. The DA got back to me, and I asked them to copy the mayor and Chief Cott on it. So he's not going to have an investigation right now until that there's some type of evidence of foul play. So Chief Cott, Mayor Reynolds, I'm sure that you I hope that you guys would agree with me that if he was going into the police database for unauthorized usage, that we would probably want to know that, correct?
Correct, and I can't elaborate any more on this because it is currently under investigation.
So we are investigating it?
Yes, sir.
That's all I wanted to know. All right, so we are, is it an internal investigation or is it external? Is it within the city police department?
So it's external right now.
And you can't share with us who the external?
I know that Lehigh County is still working on their end of the investigation, and I know that Northampton County is looking into the access as well.
Yeah, the not just the specific charges or accusals that he was dealing drugs in City Hall, but that he was accessing the police department without the appropriate reasons to do so. That's being investigated.
Correct.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. And I really appreciate that. At some point, do you know at what point that council could, I mean, even if it has to be in a executive session, I don't know if it has to be an executive session. I would prefer that it's made public so that our residents and our citizens and taxpayers know what happened under this administration. The fact that, and I don't want to get off on a long tangent here, but we had a long-term, very qualified right-to-know officer who was here for a long time. When the mayor came in, he made a move at that position, and that's his prerogative. But the fact that Mr. Cole Borghi was brought in, that we had someone qualified at the time who was not rehired, and Cole Borghi was brought in under Mayor Reynolds and his administration, that the fact that he was caught, and I'm not saying anybody in the administration knew he was dealing drugs prior to his hire, but the fact is, someone has to be held accountable. Somebody brought him in, and you know, I always liked President Truman's statement at the buck stops at his desk, and the guy that's in charge of this administration is the mayor, and we have not heard anything at all from the mayor in any statements. And I would hope that at some point, hopefully tonight, and I know there's not details that you can get into, but the fact that he was brought in by you and your administration, and he was dealing drugs here in City Hall, cocaine and marijuana, that's according to the Lehigh County District Attorney. And we've had no statements on anything from the administration. Not even any conversations with counsel. I mean, I know I haven't. I haven't had any conversations or emails from any of one of you. I just think it's highly inappropriate, especially considering the damage that it's done to our reputation. Those charges that are being applied against Mr. Bo, I don't know if they're true or false or not, and he's going to have his day in court. But the fact that it was not only all over the Lehigh Valley News, this story was on ABC out of Philadelphia, NBC and CBS and Fox on all four news channels, and has done irreparable harm to the city, I believe. And this council has not heard a word from the mayor or the administration on it. And the fact that I had to have police officers come and tell me, Ryan, he was accessing the police records without having a right to know request on it. And I didn't know what that meant. But apparently if someone files a right to know, he has the duty to go in and look at those records. I have no problem with that. But if he was going in and researching police records without any right to know request, then that is illegal according to the district attorney. And I would hope his last statement, and you got a copy of the letter, and so did the mayor, and he said at the end, he said, that said, should be the Bethlehem Police Department request the assistance of our office within its own criminal investigation, he would be happy to assist. So I appreciate the fact that that's already being done, Chief. I appreciate that. I don't know who decided that, you know, the mayor asked you to do that. I think that's a great thing.
Can
Go ahead.
Just a couple of comments here. First of all, the police and their investigations operate, and the district attorneys and the counties operate completely independent of anything that has to do with me or even the administration as far as where they do investigations or not. A lot of what you're talking about that's going on now has been going on, which is always under lock and key as far as investigations are concerned. They don't come, the detectives downstairs, those people don't come upstairs and say, hey, Mr. Reynolds, let me tell you what's going on with this and this and this and this. So a lot of the things that you're talking about as far as the counties are concerned and the police and so on and so forth are things that have been going on that don't get talked about, as the chief said, because it's part of an active investigation. Those things don't get shared. So it is a situation where this situation has not been handled any differently than any other investigation going on. When I find out about it is when somebody gets charged with something. I don't find out about people being investigated. I'm not a police officer. I don't have those rights. In this situation, when they arrested this individual, who obviously was terminated the same day from the city of Bethlehem, we found out about it. I'm not going to say when the police found out about it, because I don't know. But when everybody else found out about it was when it was happening. So it is not a situation as if there was information or not talked about, or even any information that hasn't been talked about publicly. It's like we have the information that has been shared publicly. So there's not like another level. As far as the hiring of that individual, and as we have said before, based on the advice of Mr. Spurk and our labor attorney, like we're not going to talk about his individual employment. It is obviously a situation that everybody around here is incredibly disappointed and frustrated about. And one of the things that I take pride in around here is if anybody on any issue puts themselves ahead of what we consider to be the public good, like there's not a place for that. And it doesn't matter whether or not it's trying to jump somebody to the front of the line on some service or somebody not necessarily taking what the responsibility was around here seriously, things that I've said. Beyond that, as far as the details on the advice of Mr. Spurk and of our labor attorney, since there is potential litigation down the road from this employee that has been mentioned, that has been talked about, we can't necessarily talk about anything else as far as some of the questions you bring up frequently, as far as like who knew what, when did you know this, and so on and so forth. Those are that a lot of that situation is all kind of under lock and key, especially now while the investigation is going on and there's potential litigation from the employee.
The reason why I bring it up is because I don't know how many months ago this was, when he was first arrested.
August.
Yeah, I had asked Mr. Spurk and you at that time if we would look into him looking into the records. And Mr. Spurk's comment at that time, and I don't want to, it's paraphrasing it, is that he wasn't going to do it, or he wasn't going to have the police department do it, because he thought the Lehigh County DA would be doing it. I sent a letter to the DA in Lehigh County, and they weren't getting into it because this is Northampton County. The drug charges, I guess, that he was accused of, the accused charges. That was in Lehigh County. Now, I don't know how, he was dealing drugs here in Northampton County. I don't know why that wasn't brought up by the Northampton County District Attorney's Office. But the Lehigh County District Attorney wasn't going to look into Mr. Borghi looking into the police data files on an unwanted or a non-business case by case. And I'd ask you, and I'd ask Solicitor Spurk, and that was at that point, I was told the city's not going to be doing an investigation. That's why I sent the letter to Northampton County District Attorney Barat. And when I got the letter back, and he detailed in the letter that you got and Chief Cott got about the various statutes that would have been broken as far as tampering with public records and information, removing and concealing and repairing the availability of any public record, unlawful use of a computer, accessing law enforcement databases without an authorization. Those things there, I didn't know. So that's why I sent the letter to him. And when he, and I copied you and Chief Cock, because I wanted everybody in on the loop on it. I didn't want to think anybody, that I was doing something untoward or under the guise of everything. Hey, I think this is a really important thing for not only city council to know, but also our citizens to know, if he was also doing this. So I appreciate it. At some point from when it first broke, and I asked Mr. Spurk and you months ago if we were going to look into it, and the answer was no at that time. So now the answer is correct.
The answer has not changed, because it is the police and is the district attorney's power, and it is their ability to be able to do those things or not. Whether or not those investigations, whether or not there's other investigations going on right now, is not under our purview. So So as far as investigations go, to believe somehow that our police officers or the district attorney or the counties are not choosing which evidence to file and so on and so forth, and somehow they're going to have access to all of this information over here, information that nobody else has, and yet they're going to wait and somebody's going to tell them, hey, did you ever think about doing this? Like, from the beginning, that has always been a situation where we are not in a position to tell them necessarily what investigations to do and things like that. So the idea that somehow like there was like this inflection moment just isn't true, because once again, they decide where to go and where not to go. So I'm not sure if that was some type of like implicit like credit for us asking them to do something or not, because we didn't ask them to do anything. We stay out of their way and let them investigate whatever they think they need to investigate.
So obviously
that's a negative.
At some point between when I first asked about it and Mr. Spurk and you were saying at that time we weren't going to look into it.
We're not the ones to look into it. Mr.
Right.
Spurk and myself are not the ones to look into it. The police are the ones to look into it, the district attorney.
Right. But at the time he had said he's not looking into it. That he had thought, and I'll get the exact wording on it, because I'll have to pull up the video record of it, but he wasn't going to look into it at the time that he thought that would be something that the Lehigh District Attorney was going to do. I contacted the Lehigh County District Attorney, and they weren't doing that. So then I sent a letter to the Northampton County, because it would have happened in Northampton County. So when I first asked about it, there was nothing going on as far as an investigation into that matter. But now there is. So at what point, Chief, at what point were we notified that they are, because you obviously just stated that they are now looking into that. At what point did we get notified about that?
So we have been working very, very closely with the Lehigh County District Attorney's Office. And there is a lot of information that has to be sifted through and gone through. The thoroughness as well is extremely important. So we were working very closely with them. They have a scope for their investigation that they were focused on. And at the point where they felt comfortable with that scope of their investigation, they let us know that this information is ours to deal with and to look at, that they're continuing their investigation, but not into the accessing of the report management system, at which point we sat down and had a conversation with the Northampton County District Attorney's Office.
Is it okay to reveal the date that we started looking into it? Was it recent?
It has been a process. It has been a process to get the information from Lehigh County and transfer that and have conversations with the Northampton County District Attorney's Office. I can't pinpoint the exact date that we started having conversations about this.
Was it in the last month, though?
Yes.
All right. So it's probably right around the authorization of his letters. I don't know for a fact. But
suffice it to say that these are criminal
charges.
Investigations for authorities involved in the criminal justice system to address. This is not a matter for the administration to address, and it's being addressed.
Right. It's being addressed. All I'm saying is this. At some point, whenever we found out, because you guys were aware that I was interested in this being looked into, and I think, just for transparency purposes, I think at the least, once you found out, or we found out, that they were also looking into this, which was a concern of council members, right? At least we could have had a meeting, even if it was an executive council, just to let us know. You don't have to go into details, but just to let you know, council, this a council brought up this topic back in August, whenever it was, and since then, we are now going to do this investigation, just to let us know.
I know.
But there was just there's a lack of transparency and communication.
You restricted. It was a grand jury investigation, and that grand jury investigation heavily restricts. I did not know what was going on until that individual was taken into custody.
No, I'm not saying that. I understand that. I'm talking about this investigation on the unlawful access into your police department's computer systems.
Right, which at the time was still being looked at by Lehigh County. So they did not tell us until recently that the scope of their investigation has gone to the extent that they are satisfied with, and that they are finished looking at the data that we provided to them. At which point we took possession of that and had a conversation with Northampton County that we want to look more into this so we can do a thorough investigation.
And I appreciate that. And I guess my next question is for both solicitors. When we did find out that they are now going to look into the inappropriate access to the police databases, is that something that the administration and the police department could have shared in executive session with counsel? Mr. Spurk?
Because I've been paraphrased a couple times, let me look at my notes from September 2nd, 2026. Commented that there had been threatened litigation. And a couple weeks later, that was made pretty specific in the newspaper. The individual vowed to find out who's behind all this and pursue legal action because I lost my job, I was publicly humiliated, I had my good name that I spent decades earning destroyed without any due process or explanation. I didn't know those words on September 2nd when we first talked about it, but I saw them in the paper a few weeks later. I deemed that threatened litigation, and so I think the statements we made back on September 2nd were wise, that we would not discuss these matters publicly involving that employee. We'll do that someday in a deposition, perhaps. Also said on September 2nd, 2026, according to my notes, there's an ongoing investigation task force has been at it for years already. They've been in several states, many cities. At that time, they had arrested 21 people, and they said more arrests were coming and more charges were coming. We said at that time that we had confidence in our own police department and in the prosecutors and the task force that they would look at everything and be thorough. Now, 7.5 months later, instead of 21 people arrested, there's 41. Instead of one felony against the individual from City Hall, there's 104. So I think they've been thorough, and I think our comments on September 2nd that we trust the investigation, and specifically trust our own police department, who were singled out for commendation by the Lehigh County DA back September 2nd for their cooperation. At that time, we said we had every confidence in the prosecution, every confidence in our police department that they would be thorough. In all my years, I've never read a 175-page criminal complaint probable cause affidavit. That's thorough. So I think that's our position tonight. That was our position on September 2nd. I think it's not something that we're going to discuss publicly for those two reasons.
The question was, though, that once Chief Cott and the administration was notified that they are now looking also into the inappropriate access of the databases, is it possible, is it legal because it was brought up in council, I asked the question if we could look into it, and at the time I was told that we're not looking into it, that it would be something that the Lehigh District Attorney might be looking into. So when we were notified that the Northampton County or the Lehigh County District Attorney's Office is now looking into the inappropriate access of the data records, when we found out about it, because Chief obviously found out about it, right, recently, when you did find out, though, couldn't it have been shared with counsel I'm not talking about a public setting, but in an executive session? I mean, this is not a small thing.
Mr. Collin, when an investigation is ongoing, there is no information to share. And so the fact that an investigation is ongoing is information that can be shared, but there's really no opportunity for council to sit down in an executive session with the administration or with anyone else and obtain information regarding a pending investigation.
Yeah, I don't need specifics. What I'm asking for is, we are an equal branch of government to the administration.
I think that the administration's point, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is, I'm talking about the chief here, they said that they weren't, well, not the chief, the chief knew, but the administration wasn't aware. So if they weren't aware, we wouldn't be aware.
Right. So when they did become aware, all I'm saying is this, when they became aware, I think at the minimum, the bare minimum of transparency and communication with us, right? I think that we should have been notified, whether it was an executive session or a private internal memo, that, hey, just to let you know, this is being investigated. I don't want to know the specifics, but it was a question that I had asked at the very beginning. And at the time, I was told it was not being pursued. And now that it obviously is, I just think that we should have been notified as an equal branch of government that, and again, I'm not asking, they don't have to get into specifics, but Chief Codd found out about it, Mayor found out about it, the solicitor found out about it, and we should have been notified about it. That's all I'm saying. I just think there should be some transparency on their part.
The avenue for that is in answer to a question at the public,
which was asked and answered. So, as Mr. Spurk said, I'm not misquoting you here. You're not going to comment on an active, ongoing investigation.
Not here.
Not anywhere.
And let me just add, they said. You know, there's a difference between the administration and an HR investigation of employee misconduct and a criminal investigation. So yeah, Mr. Reynolds and I aren't going to have an HR investigation traipsing around in something that could very well be the topic of an ongoing, thorough criminal investigation. You said specifically on September the 2nd, I think I'd like to know whether or not he was using the police database for reasons that he shouldn't have been to help some of his fellow drug dealers. And I said, on the tape, on the videotape, on the recording, yeah, I'll bet you the prosecutors and the task force would like to know that too. And I'm confident that they'll get around to them, not an HR.
Yeah, I'd have to look at those.
A couple months later, you said, well, when it's all done and the criminal investigation is done and they haven't looked at it, would you look at it then? I said, yeah, then it's an HR matter, something for personnel. And I don't know what we would do, fire him if we found that out.
Mr. Berg, I believe you. What I'm saying is the comments that you made from my recollection, and I want to get moving on this, I don't want to drag it on, is that you said at the time that we weren't doing an investigation, and now
HR.
Right.
HR.
Right. So all I'm saying is this, when at some point when she found out that there was an investigation into that matter, I just think we should have been notified. That's all I'm saying. And we weren't.
How do you know the police department wasn't already looking at it on the first day? How do you know that?
Shouldn't we have been,
couldn't
someone have said, we're looking into this matter. Now you don't want to go into details. That's it.
Okay, so I'm going to allow other council members, because I'm getting to this here, to comment on this specific thing, but I will ask you to keep it within the scope, understanding that the official stance is we are not going to comment on an ongoing investigation. I will start with you, Councilman Amon, then I will move on to
Mr. Kong. Go ahead.
Thank you, Councilman Amon. So I just briefly wanted to say, I think we're tiptoeing a very fine line, having conversations about pending criminal trial, potential further criminal matters for what's allegations. We talked about this previously here in these council chambers about a meeting when we're speaking sort of definitively or in absolutes or referencing potential city personnel that are coming to members of council to speak on things as if they are, you know, true. These are all allegations. I recognize as it pertains to a criminal investigation, council, I am not a member of the police department. This is not a badge. I'm not entitled to know. All the members of the police department are entitled to know what's going on in terms of investigations. And when we talk about executive session or a internal memo, we've shared memos with council that I've read online within 5 hours of us sending them. So you might as well announce anything publicly if you're going to let seven people know and lose control of that information, or put anything in writing digitally that's meant to be confidential that can be shared privately. That just, I would never do that with an HR investigation at my day job, let alone a criminal matter. So I just want to reiterate, I think we're tiptoeing a very fine line. I think there's an appropriate time for members of council, along with others, to hear about things. If that's when an investigation concludes and the results are shared with us, I can live with that. I don't feel like I'm entitled to know more than my position allows me to know. Thank you.
Councilman Amen.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else want to comment on this? Okay. I'm going to move on to
I have another.
Okay.
I have a statement I just wanted to make quick. I feel, these are my feelings, okay? I feel like the mayor sets the tone in City Hall. The city of Bethlehem had a highly qualified, long-term certified paralegal, right-to-know officer, who by all accounts was doing a great job. Mayor Reynolds brought in Zach Holborgi, who had absolutely no qualifications for the job, other than possibly he helped the mayor with his campaign. In my eyes, that's inexcusable. And the fact that Borgi was then, according to the Lehigh County District Attorney, dealing cocaine and pounds of marijuana while in City Hall, then that is even more inexcusable. This is not the first time Mayor Reynolds has had a serious lapse of character and judgment. He started his mayorship by threatening developers and three churches on the south side. He used his Economic Development Department to harm them if they didn't do what he wanted. That blew up in his face when the city realtor, who was doing the deal at the time, went public with his threats, and he backed off after threatening to have to take the property by eminent domain. A mayor sets the tone in his administration and in City Hall, and Reynolds has set the moral an ethical bar, in my eyes, so low that he has had a number of people arrested under his watch, including another administrator within the first year of his administration. The accusations, charges, and arrests of Borgi has been all over the Philadelphia and local news market and has caused immense damage to the city of Bethlehem's image and reputation. Mayor Reynolds is responsible for the embarrassment that he has caused and needs to be held accountable for his decisions and the appointments that he made and the changes that he made to bring in Mr. Colborg. Thank you. And that's the end of my comments under new business.
Okay. Does any other council member have comments under new business?
I would just say that, as you pointed out, Mr. Callahan, those are your comments. You made a lot of very definitive statements that are matters of opinion and not of record, and they are your statements.
And I also want to be very careful that we're toeing the line between statements and accusations, and just a very gentle reminder that the city employs over 300 people. And as oversight, we are just as responsible. So just want to be very clear that this is what Zach Colborne did is a reflection on himself, not the city of Bethlehem. His immediate termination is actually a reflection of the city of Bethlehem, because he was immediately terminated. Moving on to communications, communication 6A.
April 14th, 2026, memorandum from city clerk's office with an attached proposed resolution. Memorandum recommends repealing and replacing resolution 2012-114 to increase the cost from $200 to $500 when applying to the city for approval of an intermunicipal liquor license transfer. Increase is necessary to cover higher required legal advertising costs.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda, communication 6B.
An April 8th, 2026 memorandum and proposed resolution from Public Works Director Michael Alcohol. Mr. Alcohol recommends an agreement with American Fireworks Company of Hudson, Ohio to provide the annual 4th of July fireworks show. The cost is $35,000. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda, communication 6C.
An April 13th, 2026 memorandum and proposed resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources. Mr. Boscola recommends an agreement with Van Cleef Engineering Associates, LLC, of Freehold, New Jersey, to provide engineering services for the rehabilitation of Penn Forest debris basin. Cost is $31,560. Completion is required within 180 days of the notice to proceed. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10, see it on the agenda, communication 16.
An April 10th, 2026 memorandum, deed, and proposed resolution from Assistant Solicitor Matthew Deschler. Attorney Deschler recommends executing a deed for 8 Mechanic Street to effectively retain city ownership, but include certain restrictive covenants.
Resolution 10, deed is on the agenda, communication 16.
An April 15th, 2026 memorandum from Solicitor John S. Burke Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permit E is Arts Quest, and the activities are the 2026 Levitt Pavilion Concert Series. Events will be from 7:30 to 9 p.m. most Fridays through Sundays, May 15th through September 12th. Premises will be First Street from Founders Way to the Eastern Terminus.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda, communication 6F.
An April 15th, 2026 memorandum from DCED Grants Administrator Lori Giglio with an attached resolution. Ms. Giglio seeks authorization to apply for the Community Conservation Partnerships Program grant through the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. If received, the grant of up to $250,000 would be used for the development of plans for improving Sand Island, Saucon Park, and Monocacy Park.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda, communication 6G.
An April 15, 2026 memorandum and proposed resolution from Kathy Fletcher, Director of Planning and Zoning. Ms. Fletcher recommends Amendment 1 to the 2025-24 Complete Streets Bike Infrastructure Contract with Kittleson and Associates of Philadelphia. This amendment would study and evaluate adding improvements along Steffel Boulevard to the original scope of the Complete Streets Plan and Bike Infrastructure Feasibility Study. The added work would cost $124,936 and would be covered by the existing Safe Streets for All project funding. The additional services shall be completed no later than 6 months after the initial contract deadline of November 16, 2026. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10G is on the agenda, communication 6H.
An April 13, 2026 memorandum and proposed resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, requesting the destruction of records for his department. Mr. Boscola has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records listed on the exhibit accompanying the memo fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
A resolution will be placed on the May 5th City Council agenda. Moving on to reports, I have nothing to report. Turning to the administration.
Yeah, thank you, President Leon. Things are great. So last week we had the State of the City, over 400 people, the largest one that we've ever had. I really want to thank the chamber. I know many of you were able to make it. Many of you couldn't make it because of work. Some people didn't RSVP. It's okay. One of the things that we talked about is how far we have come as a city financially. And also how far we have come in the public and the private sector collaboration together. Things such as housing, things like that. It really was one of those mornings where you leave just thankful for all of our partnerships we have and all of the wonderful things that we have going on, and how the questions we're answering in 2026 are just simply not the questions we were answering 25 or 30 years ago. And I made a note multiple times in front of the crowd about thanking council for their support of things like our parks program and things like that, because a lot of the progress we have made is because most of you have been very long-term thinking about how we necessarily need to fund sustainable revenues, how we need to fund sustainable expenses, and people are getting it, and people understand that. And I think when you go out, and one of the things that we also did, and I know many of you made out as well, to our 40 and 10 park reveal plan, which is just truly an exciting time for the city. As I said that night, there was a time, and I know that Councilwoman Laird is hosting the committee meeting in which we're going to talk about 40 and 10. But the investments that we've been able to make in the city over the last several years, and also what we're going to be able to do moving forward, we have the RFP out now for those first three parks, Clearview, Bernie Fritz, and Madison. And then also you guys are voting on a grant application to do planning. With as far as Saucon Park, Ellicottville and Sand Island is concerned. So our goal is to be able to kick off that Sand Island master plan in 2027, and we're really excited about that. And also in a couple weeks, on May 16th, we have our Friendship Park ribbon cutting. So if you have a chance to get out there, it's a project that's kind of the center of our North Side Alive I know Councilwoman Laird has been intimately involved with all of the committee work for years that helped to be able to get the grant funding for that to be able to do it, and it's going to really be an exciting day. Also, a week earlier in May, we're bringing back our concerts to Rose Garden. Live in the Garden's coming back, so we'll be doing that for another eight or nine Saturdays in a row. And like the common theme here is just like bringing people together to be able to create common experiences, to be able to, you know, when we have to make the difficult decisions, when we have to think about how we build more housing, when we have to think about how we can fund different things, that we have this just connected community. And, you know, we just could not be more thankful and grateful for all of our incredible partners. And I think the idea that, and we very much centered this over the past 4+ years, is the idea of you mobilize people through positivity, through bringing them in, through giving them decision making, and then you keep your promises. And I think when you look at our parks, when you look at our housing, when you look at a lot of different things, and this is, we have a very dedicated staff. We have incredible people here that are working day in and day out in all of our departments, that are here late, that are filling out these grant applications, making sure we turn in everything we need to turn in, and the success keeps coming. So I want to thank council for their support there. And this is one of those time periods, the next couple of months is always in spring, where we'll really be kind of cutting a lot of ribbons and announcing a lot of projects. And as I said, we got back that RFP, I think last week, for the final design engineering for those first three parks. So as I said that night, and as I said last week at State of the City, one of the things that we've worked internally to be able to do is be able to kind of shorten that period to about 22 months. So the idea is that every February we're going to be able to announce which parks are kind of like on the docket, and then you do the engineering, the design, the public meetings, all those things that year, and then the following year, as long as we still have the cash to be able to pay for them, we're going to be able to get them constructed and completed by the end of that year. So we all know when you announce a project, people want to know when it's going to get done, and we've worked very hard. Mr. Yonkel's department, Ms. Collins' department, Mr. Spurk's bureau, to be able to work together to figure out a way to speed up that process. And it might seem like kind of a bureaucratic thing, but it's really the difference between being able to tell the public and telling council, like, if we have the money to do this on January 1st, we can announce where these parks are in February, and then we're able to get them done by the end of the following year, which is just not something that people are able to do in a lot of places. So I would send my comments by, as always, just truly, truly appreciating all of their cooperation and collaboration, because that's why we're in this incredible place that we're in. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know that these are reports we don't have time to engage in dialogue, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention that during the presentations, it was definitely not lost on me the presence of water in the parks, the presence of public restrooms being a focus in the parks, and also the trash compactor directly outside of City Hall, which is just a representation of how responsive you are as an administration. Thank you, Mr. Alcock. All paths lead to you. From the comments that might not rise to the top of things like budgetary issues, but they are issues that are at least core to, like, reasons why I ran, like, what does it mean to live in the city of Bethlehem? So those things were very much appreciated and really great to see them, so thank you very much.
Yeah, and there's, and I mean, situations like that is like, obviously council has a lot of the same ideas that people do that are working within City Hall, that citizens do, and it just comes down to, is that something feasible you can do? And oftentimes it comes down to things that are very, you know, bureaucratic, you know, rights of ways, different easements and things like that. But if there's a way to be able to do those things, like, we are obviously going to get them done. And one of the things, and this, that's a good way for me to finish my report, is like all three of those parks have public meetings that are coming up that are going to allow the neighborhood to be able to comment on potential concepts, to be bring up different ideas that they want to necessarily see in that. And we have built in enough time, since those meetings are going to happen, I believe, in June and July, that they can then get worked into those final design engineering. And you're not going to miss the construction season next year. So we're really excited about that and the process we set up. So thank you, President.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Turning to Councilwoman Colleen for committee reports.
Yes, so jumping off of that, just announcing that there will be a Parks and Recreation Committee meeting Tuesday, May 5th, 2026, at 5:30 here in Town Hall. The subject will be the 40 in 10 parks plan to look at what has been proposed and has been finalized as the plan and have conversation about. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councilman Moore. Moving on to ordinances for final passage, 8A.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Liquid Fuels Fund Budget for 2026. Bill number 18, 2026, is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. We have no new ordinances. Moving on to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that in Council's consideration of liquor license transfers, the following requirements and written certification must be provided to Council of the City of Bethlehem. $500 to cover legal advertisement and administrative costs, notification by U.S. mail of property owners within 500 feet of proposed premises, and conspicuous property posting. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Leon.
Before I open the discussion, I just want to clarify that we are not going to be transferring any liquor licenses within the City of Bethlehem tonight. And while I might agree with some of the statements that were made about the overall concept of transferring liquor licenses inside the City of Bethlehem, the only thing that we're going to be discussing tonight is increasing the fee. So I will turn to you to kind of give some backstory.
If I may, I wanted to speak to the public comment about this resolution earlier. What this resolution does is set forth the requirements for an applicant in terms of what they need to submit to the city for processing their application. It does not address the requirements of an application itself, which are statutory, and that is something the gentleman was talking about, which is covered by state statute. This is a resolution that somewhat increases the fee for a liquor license application because our advertising costs have been rising, and we want to make sure that those costs are accounted for by the applicant. So this is a modest increase to address that. It also addresses the fact that an application needs to be submitted and certain postings need to be done. But again, it does not address the requirements of the application itself because that's at work.
Okay, so just to be very clear, this is just to bring our fees current to what current advertising is, especially since we are continuing to see our advertisers shrink. RIP
rising goals. Yes.
Yeah.
Rising costs. So the only change in the text of this resolution versus the prior resolution is that.
Thank you for giving that context. Does anyone on council have any questions or discussion on this resolution? Wonderful. The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute agreement with the American Fireworks Company to provide the annual 4th of July fireworks show. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Van Cleef Engineering Associates to provide engineering services for the rehabilitation of the Penn Forest debris basin. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a deed to the property of 8 Mechanic Street from the city as grantor to the city as grantee to include certain covenants restricting such property to recreational uses and such other agreements and documents as are deemed by the city solicitor to be necessary and or related thereto. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Councilman Laird?
Could we just have like a lay for the record explanation summary of what this entails.
And when you missed me, Dashler, and when you said lay, he shook his head. I'll try it, don't lay. As part of the Greenway acquisition, there were covenants that granted the land that would have affected all the right of way. Over time, the city administration has looked at particular requests from individuals who were have establishments along the Greenway and would like to intrude on it a little bit because it's outdoor and further their business. So to do that, we had to do something about the covenants that run with the land. And it was Mr. Deschler's idea, the Deschler Bank, because essentially there's city property that does abut the Greenway, except for part of those others. So we talked to the department there, so what if we just put the covenants on that, on our land, that we have no development plans for? And that acreage then can swap out.
This is a land swap similar to what was done for the brewery in their patch.
Exactly that.
Okay.
It's all for this.
Okay. Thank you for this.
Any other discussion? That's really great. That's really cool. That was a great idea. That's a good question. All right. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Blair?
Aye.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Daniels?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10-E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement at Arts Quest for the 2026 Levitt Pavilion Concert Series. Resolution sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the City requests a grant through the State Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. Be it further resolved that the Mayor and Controller are authorized to execute all agreements and documents as are deemed to be necessary and or related thereto. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Raymond and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Councilman Laird?
I think the mayor clarified a bit in his report, but just make sure that we address the public comment regarding transparency on this. This grant is for planning, which would then be made transparent to the public about what those plans are, correct? So the memo, or the communication that we received saying not anything about what's going to happen at this park is not because there's details that aren't being shared, it's because there aren't details.
And I was going to actually look for the individual, but it looks like he left before I had the opportunity to talk to him after the meeting. But it is just a grant application to be able to apply for a grant that then, even if we are awarded, would have to go through the whole planning process as far as contract execution, as far as the, you know, we have to pick someone to do it, and so on and so forth. But the exciting part is that like this grew out of 40 and 10. Because our DCNR contacts, who have been so important in all of our projects, like they came to our 40 and 10, they came to the CAT opening, they came to all these different events, and then they were like, can we sit down and talk to you? Because we think we have a great idea. And we originally went to them just with this idea that like we were gonna look at planning dollars for Sand Island, and they were just like, why don't you apply for more dollars to be able to do these other regional parks as well? So it's a really exciting opportunity.
This might be a little bit cart before the horse because you're just applying for the planning, but do you envision that you're going to follow the same kind of 48-10 where there will be a public meeting where there can be discussion about what people want to see?
100%, even more so. And I think what's probably going to happen, especially with Sand Island at least, is like you're looking at it almost like its own master plan. Like it's not going to be the type of thing, both with our neighborhood parks and our anchor parks, what we're kind of calling them there. Like those are going to be the type of things that might be neighborhood specific, but like when you're talking about something like a master plan for Sand Island or what you're going to do with Saucon Park, like you would be looking at an even longer process that takes into account more stakeholders and things like that. I don't know yet because we haven't gotten there, but even more so, like when we're going to do Clearview and Burning Fridge, we're going to basically have nights where we're going to go out and talk to people with our own planning department and things like that. Here, it's like I'm just saying this has a potential. You could be looking at some type of like sub-steering committee or something like that. I mean, Sand Island was built almost 40 years ago and it's kind of like modern configuration. So like when we take a look at what to do there, it's going to be over the long term. So there are going to be a lot of partners. But yes, I would expect there to be a lot and over a long period of time as far as public communication and engagement is concerned.
Awesome. And if you do, again, carpet before the horse, but if you do a subcommittee, I would always volunteer one of the council members to be a part of that. Councilman Laird would love to volunteer, I'm sure, to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much. If there's no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10-H. 10-G.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Poulsen and Associates to provide services associated with contract 2025-24 Complete Streets Bike Infrastructure Amendment 1 to include study and evaluation of Steffco Boulevard. Resolution sponsored by Mr. Raymond and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10-H.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 449 Linden Street to replace existing aluminum and vinyl black fence and gate with a brick garden wall and wrought iron topper, as well as a 3-foot by 4-foot wood gate on the Linden Street side in front of the property. The applicant also proposes to replace existing wood lattice fence at the back northwest Milton Street Alley corner of the property with a knee-high brick garden wall and wrought iron topper. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Raymond and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Passes 6-0, and that concludes city business tonight. Yeah, I'm safe, everyone.